back to it now. A lot of conversations because the governor says she wants Michigan Public Schools to reopen March 1st for in-person instruction. Unfortunately, schools in Ann Arbor, Kalamazoo, Lansing, among those that say, we're not going to do it. Dr. Richard Ziley is here, former State Board of Education member, 2010 to 2018. Also pastor at St. John's Lutheran Church. That's in Taylor since 2001. Doctor, welcome to the program.
Honored to be with you. Thank you for having me on.
Greatly appreciate you taking the time. Obviously, as a member of the State Board of Education for 8 years, you have a pretty good understanding of how that all works. But, man, we are confused here because as we look around, Florida's been in person since August, full-time in public schools. Private schools, Catholic schools, and private schools around this country have been open since August. One of my children is one of those. Not a single problem with any of them, but yet these public schools, the unions continue to insist on being shut down, many of them. What's the problem? What should we be doing, sir?
Well, if you look at the statistics, you see that our students, especially elementary students, are not vulnerable to this COVID at all. But our older adults are. And so this is a classic case of, are we protecting the children involved or are we protecting the adults involved? Now, it's no small matter to protect the adults involved, but the science shows us that not everyone is equally susceptible to COVID. And we know who are in danger, those with preconditions, and those individuals have the responsibility to seek medical advice and follow it. Now, that means that not every teacher will be able to return to the classroom because of this.
True.
But I think that if schools are about the interests of children, then we should have resumed school with appropriate policy safeguarding the vulnerable.
Sure.
Back in September.
But doctor, to be fair, most school teachers, age-wise, the majority of teachers are not in that age bracket of north of 65, right? Most teachers are younger than that.
That's
many
right.
Teachers retire by the time they're 55 or 60. So the most vulnerable age bracketing, therefore, would mean most teachers are in that safe category. That doesn't mean all of them. You're right. You're going to have some different issues, whether it's diabetes or obesity, whatever it might be. And all right, you protect those that are at risk, but the rest of them, get them into the classroom and find substitutes, long-term substitutes, to fill the rest of the time. Wouldn't that be the course of action?
I should think so. I should certainly think so. And I should think we would have taken the step back in September when the science was clear. In the spring, we did not know much about the virus. And so to end in-person classroom at that point was a responsible decision. But in the summer, the pediatricians recommended resuming in-person schooling, and we should have done it back in September.
100% agree with that. 100% agree. I mean, it's been pretty obvious for a while that putting the kids in the classroom, and the younger the kids, the safer it is. But let's be honest, it's not an exact zero, but even high school kids and college students, it's not an exact zero, but it's pretty close as far as bad outcomes from COVID. It's almost exactly zero, not perfect, but close. And if you taught math in the public schools, you'd be able to figure that out, right?
Well, yes. Part of it is a matter of language. I went on the state website for COVID, and they list 140 schools as having had outbreaks of the COVID. And then you look at the actual statistics. There is no school in double digits lower than high school. And the only schools that have hundreds of cases are colleges and universities, Michigan State being at the top of the line. They just acknowledged the green and white. But the state puts in a school that has two faculty that get the COVID as an outbreak along with Michigan State, which has 3,000 or 4,000 cases. And that's just that's misleading at best. And to talk about a school that has two cases being an outbreak, and make no mistake about it, the mode, that is to say the most frequently occurring number, is two in this list of schools with outbreaks.
So here's the question, because this is what makes people...
And what I'm saying is that the language that we use in discussing this is emotionally misleading.
You say that again.
The way in which we discuss the COVID is sometimes emotionally misleading.
And what do you mean by that?
I mean, when we talk about 140 outbreaks of the disease in Michigan school, and then we lump in the university that has 9,000, that I'm sorry, it's only 3,800 or so, Michigan State, with the many elementary schools that have two cases. In some cases, it's only staff. That's misleading. That's not a meaningful categorization. And when we use the term an outbreak of the disease, there was an outbreak of the disease at your elementary school. What does it mean? Well, in most cases, it means that two kids had the disease. I mean, a kid and a teacher had the disease. And that's the way in which we talk about it is unnecessarily alarming. And as I use the term, emotionally misleading.
Yeah, emotionally misleading. So what do we do then? Because here's it frustrates parents. It frustrates. We have one student who's in class and one who is not. Fortunately, and I've heard all these horror stories about, you know, virtual learning has made 4-point students into 3-point students into 2 points. I mean, kids that were straight A kids are now getting C's and D's and F's, some of them, because they've just disconnected, right? It's terrible. The socialization damage to young kids is just terrible. But parents believe, heck, I believe, the unions are calling the shots in too many places. Right or wrong?
I do not pretend to understand the rationale for their positions, so I would not venture to speak for them. And I think that school boards are responsive, which make these decisions, are responsive to voters. And so those are the people to contact. Now, at the higher levels, on the state level, our citizens voted for the party that was backed by the unions, and elections have consequences.
Yeah, they do, but it's devastating consequences for our kids, and I think it's enough to... To say we as parents
well,
and
I would agree with you about I would tend to agree with you.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I got to leave it right there, Doctor. I greatly appreciate your insight and your wisdom and your experience. There's no substitute for the experience. Dr. Richard Ziley, former State Board of Education member, 2010 through 2018, also a pastor at St. John's Lutheran Church. That's Taylor. Sir, greatly appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you again. Thank you so much.
Honor to be with you. Thank God you. Bless.
There you have it, Dr. Richard Ziley. It's time to put the kids back on the seats. That's what the science says. We'll be right back.
Pure Michigan water has never been more important than it is today. You can find your Pure Michigan water experts at Wolverine Water. Wolverine Water has been installing Michigan-made products for almost 75 years now. Hometown products and hometown service provided by your friends and neighbors at Wolverine Water since 1947. How about that for a cool drink of water? Wolverine Water. I've been a customer for over 20 years, too. If you're ready for the very best, you're ready for Wolverine Water. WolverineWaterSystems.com.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Rich Studley with the Michigan Chamber. We represent about 5,000 employers who employ over 1 million Michigan residents. At times like this, employees and employers have questions. We're your trusted source of information. Please visit the Michigan Chamber's website at michamber.com for the timely and accurate information you need to stay in business and to keep Michigan moving forward.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce. Commerce, moving Michigan forward.
When it comes to planning for your future, you want an advisor who understands your Christian values. Ameriprise Financial Advisor Craig Stiles offers financial planning based on biblical principles. He can help you plan for your goals in a way that is consistent with your faith. Call Craig Stiles today at 517-483-4893. Office is located at 2400 Lake Lansing Road, Suite B, Lansing, Michigan, 48912. Ameriprise Financial provides financial services without regard to religious affiliation or cultural background. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Some high school game officials get involved because they decided it was time to stop complaining about the referees as a spectator and become one. They found it to be a rewarding and humbling experience. We always need more officials. To get involved, go to MHSAA.com. There's help wanted, just whistle. A message from the Michigan High School Athletic Association, promoting the value and values of educational athletics.